I am from Mexico. I'm a DACA recipient. I came to the United States when I was 5 years old, and I spent most of my life in central Illinois. So I think at heart, I would pretty much be a Midwesterner. It's always been something that I take into account, how I grew up. I never really understood that I was different until later on. Later, it led me to take a chance to trying to just help the Hispanic community. You know, always taking into consideration everything that I've gone through, everything that I've seen. And it helped me to come to St. Louis eventually. And I really try to really understand where my background is, my culture, but also understand that I'm not, as they say, not from here nor from there. There's always been something that I take into consideration as I keep growing as an individual.
Hey, St. Louis. Welcome to another episode of We Live Here Auténtico. This is Alejandro. Thank you so much for coming back.
Yes, so glad that you're listening today. I'm Gabriela Ramirez Arellano, and today we're talking to Ricardo Martinez, who shares his upbringing growing up in Illinois, his passion for helping Spanish speakers with financial literacy, his entrepreneurial journey, and of course, his love for St. Louis. ¿Para qué sufrir si no
hace falta? Before we dive into Ricardo's story, let's get some additional context. You heard Ricardo in our opening saying he's a DACA recipient. Let's dive into what that means and what it is. The Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, also known as DACA, has enabled more than 800,000 eligible young adults to work lawfully, attend school, and plan their lives without the constant threat of deportation, usually to an unfamiliar country. It provides temporary relief from deportation and work authorization to certain young undocumented immigrants.
According to the Migration Policy Institute, more than 1.3 million U.S. residents were eligible for DACA as originally implemented, and it is estimated that the average DACA recipient arrived in the United States in 1999 at the age of 7, and that more than one-third of DACA recipients, which is 37%, arrived before the age of 5.
Now, back to Ricardo, in his own words.
My parents are immigrants, and I think that they jumped at the chance when Obama offered us the deferred action, which meant that we could get a job, we could have temporary renewable permission to be here, and we can have our own social security number, we can accept jobs. It's still temporary, and it's still something that we have to renew and pay for it every single 2 years. There hasn't been a path forward yet, but it definitely gave my parents and me something to work from. I think that that's especially considering the fact that I don't think I would have had all of the choices that I've had since. I have not, you know, as soon as I turned 16, I got my first job. And that was something that immigrants usually can't do, but as a DACA recipient, you can do. And just all of those things that you can build off one after another in order to keep succeeding and making sure you keep moving ahead. That's something that without DACA would not be possible, even though there's still a lot more work to do, and hopefully that there's something that comes out of that for all of us DACA recipients, which right now there's about 700,000 of us that are just living day to day without knowing for sure if in 2 years DACA will be gone or not. So the DACA has just been something that gives us the opportunity to keep moving forward.
Ricardo began his career as a financial advisor, and after 3 years, he started his entrepreneurial journey, founding JuntosAdelante.com, a personal finance website dedicated to help Spanish speakers understand the American personal finance system.
Ricardo then founded Central JA, a digital marketing agency focused on helping Spanish-speaking businesses pivot their business online. Through his experiences as a digital marketer, he has given talks to Maryville University's digital certificate program and named the Hispanic Business Advocate of 2021 by the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce at their Adelante Awards.
At the core of Ricardo's companies lies a wish for future generations to be informed, knowledgeable, and empowered in a language that they speak. The barriers and struggles that he and his family endured are not ones that he wants for anybody else. And he is doing what he can to make that a thing of the past.
My parents have always had to live in the shadows. They've always had to find out how to make things work without having their own paperwork to be here. But for them, it was a chance to give me something different and to give me the opportunity to, you know, to get a job and to do all these things, to go to school. There are definitely a lot of issues that come with DACA. So right after high school, I And thanks to DACA, you know, I was able to get a job at 18. My first job right out of high school was working at a meat factory for 1 year while I paid for my associate's degree. Even though I didn't get to finish it, I think that what that kind of gave me is the understanding that even though we have DACA and we're limited, we're very much allowed to grow by trying to find, I guess, the non-linear path. As DACA recipients, we always have to figure out how can we get where we want to be in a non-traditional sense. And for me, you know, I found out I could be a financial advisor, I can be an insurance agent, and I just need to pass all the certifications, the licenses, and that's the first thing I wanted to do. And I found it is to be a really helpful, especially coming from an immigrant background, understanding how immigrants are taken advantage of by the system that they don't understand. And that led to me trying to become a financial advisor, which I succeeded. I spent 3 years as a financial advisor, just trying to help, especially the Hispanic communities. I gave talks in the St. Louis area to the public libraries, to the Fairmont City area when it came to financial literacy. And it's something that it's just very important for me. Sometimes there's a gap, financial literacy, and that was something that I really was focused on to try to fix. And it's still something that I'm very passionate about. But all of those opportunities were trying to find non-traditional ways to get to your goals without understanding that, you know, going to school might not be a possibility for most DACA students, but that there is a path. You just have to find the other way, and you might have to work twice as hard, but just knowing that there is a path and setting it for yourself really puts you to succeed with DACA.
With the granting of work authorization and the imminent threat of deportation removed, DACA recipients have experienced pronounced upward mobility in their socioeconomic status. A national survey of DACA recipients conducted in August and September of 2019 found that 58% of respondents moved on to a job with better pay, while 48% moved to a job with better working conditions, and 53% moved to a job with health insurance or other benefits. In addition, 6% of respondents started their own businesses after receiving DACA, and 17% obtained professional licenses.
According to the results of the 2019 survey and four previous annual surveys, the average hourly wage of respondents increased by 86% after receiving DACA, rising from $10.46 per hour to $19.45 per hour. This not only helped 79% of respondents to become financially independent, but benefited the U.S. economy by increasing their purchasing power and tax payments at the federal, state, and local levels. For instance, 60% of respondents said that they bought their first car after receiving DACA, which boosted auto sales and generated sales tax revenue together with registration and title fees. Similarly, 14% of respondents said they bought their first home after receiving DACA, which had comparable ripple effects throughout the economy.
DACA has gone through many challenges in court and without action in Congress, leaving millions of beneficiaries in uncertain situations. Presently, those who currently have DACA can file for renewals of their DACA and work permits. The federal government is currently accepting, but not granting, or even processing, applications from first-time applicants and anyone whose DACA expired more than 1 year ago. It is critical that Congress take steps to provide a permanent legislative solution now.
DACA is a temporary fix to the quandary confronting hundreds of thousands of undocumented youth. Without DACA, these young people cannot work legally in the United States and face the possibility of deportation to countries where they have not lived since they were very young. With DACA, they can finally get jobs legally, move up the socioeconomic ladder, and experience enough stability in their lives to pursue their education further and plan for the future. When we come back, we talk to Ricardo about so many other things, including his love for St. Louis.
From St. Louis Public Radio and PRX,
this is We Live Here Auténtico. Our lived experiences tend to shape us into the people that we become and dictate the things we're passionate about.
Whether it's medical translations, whether it's financial, like trying to get insurance, trying to set up doctor's appointments, trying to set up a car dealership and try to actually like negotiate the car deals to make sure that they get that the cars and make sure that they're not being taken advantage.
For Ricardo, he knew he wanted to help others. Growing up, he got lots of opportunities to do just that. But before he could really dedicate himself to do so, he knew he needed to go to college and get a job to pay for it.
It was good pay, and I'd have no complaints about it. It was 12 hours a day, so those were some pretty hard times. And I spent there a little bit over a year where I would work from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and then do pretty much homework from 6 p.m. till 9 or 10 and then wake up and do it again.
Eventually, Ricardo and his wife moved to St. Louis. And as he found his footing, he decided to become an entrepreneur.
Becoming an entrepreneur was something for me that I had pretty much done all the way since I was in Morton. You know, financial literacy is a big part of just who I have become. And that's in large part because of my parents. You know, as I said before, I think having to go to all of the meetings for cars, to buy a car, for insurance, having to understand all of these concepts in order to be able to be them, translating there for them and trying kind of giving my parents an opinion as to insurance, what kind of insurance they should get, why they should get it. That led me to then help other of their friends. And that's something that kind of started off as like kind of a little mini business, I guess, trying to teach and help. And that led me to really start off this little thing, trying to help and educate and inform anyone that of my parents' friends that needed help with any type of insurance, with any type of taxes, and trying to really understand these concepts for them in order so that I can explain to them. Because of that little venture, whenever I decided to come to St. Louis, there was an opportunity for a startup insurance agency. And knowing already the background that I had, I worked for just a little bit there before I was recruited to be a financial advisor. But it's in large part, being a financial advisor, being an insurance agent, is really trying to start your own business. And that really just lit, I guess, to that I can do this. And that's something that everything that I've really built and I guess done has been with that mindset. And even if it was, I guess, subconscious, I really, really understood the fact that everything that I've built is with that purpose in mind, you know, trying to build in businesses or resources for the Hispanic community. And I've really just understood that that's actually what has driven me to become an entrepreneur, is just trying to help the Hispanic community in ways that they might not get the help that they currently need right now.
It is so fascinating to hear how one life experience leads you to the next steps in your professional career or your personal life. As you are listening, are you able to pinpoint a moment or experience in your life that led you to the career you're in, or even the moment in your life you're in? I think for me, it was meeting my husband and moving to St. Louis. I did not see that coming, but here I am in St. Louis doing a podcast with St. Louis Public Radio. What a crazy thing to say.
Oh, yes, Alejandro. Sometimes it is good to look back for just one moment and be grateful for those experiences that led us to today. It's how we build resilience. For Ricardo, all of these experiences shaped him and gave him his purpose, which includes St. Louis. Se vayan, don't go away. In the next segment, we hear more about Ricardo's life in St. Louis and what he's looking forward to.
Welcome back. Gabby, Ricardo has been talking about topics we both care about so much, specifically making sure that opportunities and resources are available for community members that speak languages other than English. Seeing something in Spanish to me feels so good. I feel welcomed, even though I don't need it. Seeing my native language just makes me feel I am where I should be, that I belong.
Yes, Alejandro. There have been so many people working on language access and language justice way before now. But we also saw a huge focus and advocacy when the pandemic started. We made some progress, and as Ricardo mentioned himself, there is still so much work to do in the region. Some of Ricardo's experiences growing up and having to take on adult responsibilities and decision-making as a child could have been easier in many ways, if only language had been available to help his parents live their lives. Like many of us who see a need and jump in to make a change, Ricardo decided to take action.
So right after I was a financial advisor, I got the chance to go through a camp called Launch Code, which is a St. Louis-based nonprofit that helped me code. And that was a big stepping stone towards building tools and resources for the Hispanic community, particularly businesses. I decided to start a little company called Central JA and was focused on helping create resources for Hispanic businesses. We would build financial statements, we would on Excel show them how to use them. And because of Launch Code, then we were able to pivot into helping them transition into digital, especially because that was during COVID. And because of COVID, we were able to help them understand how to set up their websites, online ordering, digital menus.
This has taken me back. During the pandemic, my husband Victor and I owned a restaurant. I remember how in those early days, everything had to change so fast to accommodate what would become the new way to sell food at a restaurant. Online orders and takeout options became such an important piece of our business that had not been a priority for us before then. Like many other restaurants, we had to figure out a way to offer those options to survive.
Oh, absolutely. Ricardo saw the lack of these systems in a language his community could speak and decided he could create them himself. Central JA, led by Ricardo, grew to be a team of four due to the demand of clients looking for that specific assistance and expertise, because it just wasn't, here is the system you need, but also here is how to set it up and leverage it. And Ricardo did not stop there. There was something else he needed to do. An idea for another business named Juntos Adelante, in English, Forward Together. This one to honor his father.
So Juntos Adelante is a resource that I've, an idea I've had for a long time. And it particularly came back into my mind 2 years ago when my dad passed away from cancer. The vast amount of knowledge and resources that are not available for Spanish speakers, especially undocumented immigrants in the United States when they're going through stuff like that, is tremendous. And Juntos Adelante is a passion project for me that I've really understood that it'll take a long time to grow, but it's needed. And especially when it comes to life insurance, you know, critical illness, all these things that I think could have made a difference. Maybe and not only for my family, but can make a big difference for the community in large. It's just a big passion for me, and it's something that I really want to just keep pushing on. It's focused on community, and it's focused on what I would have liked to seen whenever we had any questions, whenever we needed life insurance, whenever we needed all these things. It's just what I wish existed beforehand. Oye.
Ricardo really focused on community. He really understands the needs because those were the exact ones he had growing up. As an example, on the YouTube page of Juntos Adelante, there is a video in Spanish that has more than 100,000 views. What is so special about it, you may be wondering? Well, it is how to fill out a check, step by step, including how to fill out the date, which details that in the United States, first you write the month, then the day, then the year. In other countries, they do it differently. So that video really covers all questions a new Spanish speaker in the U.S. may have.
More than 100,000 views? Wow. Talk about leading the charge. Thank you, Ricardo, for your leadership and hard work to make sure that Spanish-speaking communities are getting the help we need in these different areas of financial know-how. They would have been a great resource for me and my family growing up, too, since I'm the oldest and also took on this responsibility when we moved to Missouri. Today, Ricardo continues his work at Juntos Adelante and now also has a full-time position at LaunchCode as a technical program manager. If you're not familiar with LaunchCode, be sure to check them out. They provide free youth and adult education and job opportunities to help you launch your career in technology. There is no doubt that our region is fortunate to have Ricardo, his wife, and his two kids here. People like him is why our region's future is bright. Before we say adios, though, we want to leave you with Ricardo's take on what being auténtico means to him.
Living auténtico means understanding who you are and being able to share that with everyone. That has been something that I think particularly in the last 2 years I've tried to live more auténtico. It's just understanding that, you know, I was raised in the United States in a small little town, but with Mexican culture, you know, being able to really embrace the fact that I don't have to be what everyone refers to as your image of professionalism, but I can still be myself, learn who I am, and keep building on that.
You heard it. To Ricardo, living auténtico means understanding who you are with all the intricacies that make you you.
We are so grateful for Ricardo for taking the time to share his story and inspire us all to take action when there is a need and use our learned experience to inspire the work of today and tomorrow. Thank you, beautiful listener, for hitting play on this episode. Please share with friends, colleagues, or people you think may love it.
Be sure to connect with us on social media, on Facebook at Auténtico, and on Instagram as Auténtico Podcast. Until next time.
Adios.
Bye. Every time she closed her eyes. Catching her teeth. Life goes on, it gets so heavy.
We Live Here is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Find out more about our guests, get show notes and more information, and of course, check out our previous episodes at welivehere.show. St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Thanks for listening.